Welcome to Influential She, the podcast about accelerating the influence of women in the world.
You will find us to be a fresh voice in an old conversation.
And here we are, your amazing co-hosts, Deb Soholt
and Mel Schopp. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Influential She. And I'm your co-host, Mel Schopp.
And I'm Deb Soholt, and we're just really glad you're here.
And today we are going to be discussing a practice that is really, I have to be really honest, unfamiliar to me, and I didn't know much about it prior to my spending time with Deb. I think this is something that is really fascinating, will be interesting to all of us, and that is the influential HLP of BioU is what we're calling it. And I think the best way to describe it is really knowing your innate biological self. And Deb, you know, I think when we started talking about this, this was some of the work that you did in your prior life as a nurse. But I think it would be really interesting for you just to kick it off a little bit and explain what that work was like a little bit as you were part of the work that you did in the clinic.
You know, I think this is just such an interesting topic to put together with talking about accelerating the influence of women. And Mel and I talked about this for a long time about BioU. It's like biology of you. And do we even include that when we're looking at practices to help accelerate influence? And my experience as a women's health director and having really started a functional medicine clinic, which our guest is going to get into what that means, I could not see how we could do this work of thinking about women being influential without having them think about how their bodies work and how they're in balance and how they listen to their body in relationship to the work that they're doing both at home, at work, with their families, because the body always knows what's going on. So in some respects, Influential She as a company is kind of taking a risk of putting together this biology piece. And yet it makes total sense to me because so many times women don't pay attention to it until it's too late. And there are other things going on where they really have to deal with problems. So we're going to bust this conversation wide open and super excited about our guest who's really going to help us lay the groundwork. She's a very dear friend. It's Dr. Jane Murray. She's a family medicine physician. She's also certified in functional medicine, which she's going to help us really understand. But Jane and I got to know each other working on a national board called Women in Balance. And we were really trying to help women take their bodies back. And it was in relationship to the hormonal rhythms and patterns of women. But all the things we're going to talk about today on this podcast are a part of what it means to be in balance. Now, that whole hormonal pathway of women, we're going to get into that as well in Influential She as a company, but not today because there's other things that we have to talk about to lay the groundwork of understanding. So we are just seriously so excited to have Dr. Jane with us. She worked with the Academy of Family Medicine, but she also really took a risk and went out in her life and started what is the Sassoon Center in Overland Park, Kansas, and became literally the famous physician within that whole locality in relationship to the true healing of people. And she was way ahead of her time. And now she's doing some very interesting work in helping people with recovering the function of their brains and reducing their stress. And she's an extraordinary leader in all things. So we're really excited to have her.
Dr. Jane, I'm just going to kick this off a little bit because I am just really humbled to be amongst the two of you because this is something that I am truly sort of naive about this entire thing, but have been so intrigued by the work that you have done and also what Deb has shared with me. So, you know, I'm just going to ask you, first of all, can you explain a little bit about, you know, what's going on when, you know, we're first trying to figure out what's going on in the body and so forth, and how do we know if our body isn't listening to us or we're not listening to our body? Can you just explain a little bit about that?
Yes. Well, absolutely. And, you know, the human body is so amazing, and it has so many intricate interacting systems that all talk to each other, work with each other. If one area is out of balance, another area can become out of balance. So helping people find, like Deb said, their balance in their health system is sometimes, you know, kind of a journey. And I was thinking about Influential She and the hope of helping women, you know, really find their true selves, their leadership, their calling. And it's very difficult to be in the world as a leader and a trailblazer and someone who fulfills her full potential if your health system your body and your mind and your spirit are not in balance. So let me just take a minute and explain what functional medicine is, because I think many people are not aware of that wording and what does that actually mean. And really what it is it's an approach to a person's health situation, looking at root causes. And honestly, this is what naturopaths have been trained in for all their years of training, and what many non-traditional cultures of healthcare have looked at is let's not just give a Band-Aid for a symptom, but let's find out why that symptom exists. And so if somebody is having headaches and skin rashes and digestive issues, and they go to their neurologist and their gastroenterologist and their dermatologist for these problems, and they get treatments for these different things, the issue really should be, why do you have all these different things? And are there some root causes in your lifestyle, in what you're eating, in how you're sleeping, what your stress is like? All of those things can affect every system in your body. So functional medicine is really a way to look at a person's issues from a different lens than just, oh, you have this diagnosis. I've made this diagnosis, and now here's the drugs that I give for this diagnosis. It's really deeper than that, but it's also simple. It's not rocket science. It's common sense, really. So this is what the approach of functional medicine is. So I'm thinking of, you know, somebody comes in, a woman comes in, and, you know, what's interesting is usually women finding their voice, finding their power, figuring out their career and becoming leaders in their field happens in their 40s and 50s. And that is when your hormones are at their most disrupted. So we've got, you know, hormone imbalances going through into perimenopause. We have stress from being working hard and being women in the world who have families and children and parents and spouses, partners, and all of the responsibilities that go with your domestic life, and then all of your professional challenges are all kind of happening at the same time. It's the perfect storm for health issues. And so many women in this stage are not sleeping well. They are not in their best mood. They have anxiety or depression, or you know, they're not feeling up to par. And so this is why it's so important, I think, to look at the big picture of how do the adrenal glands work under stress? What do they do? How does the digestive system contribute to your overall health? And, you know, when we're stressed, we often don't eat as healthfully as we might. You know, we like, you know, sugar, junk food, potato chips, alcohol. Let's just do some things to feel better instead of, you know, the kind of diet that would really support your cellular activities so everything can work right. So I hope that gives a little bit of a perspective on, you know, kind of the functional medicine approach to a complicated health situation.
I think the tendency today, or my tendency, is always, I just want to get this fixed. If I got a headache, I'm going to pop a couple aspirin. You know, I mean, that's just the general tendency. So I think that even talking about this and helping women to understand, we can't be at our best if we're just surfacing over what the real issue is. So I'll be really curious of how you work that into your practice itself. And I know, Deb, you wanted to jump in there, but I'm just thinking this is really fascinating about the general tendency of what we do today.
Well, yes. And, you know, we all want a quick fix. We all want, you know, let's take an ibuprofen for our headache. Let's take a sleeping pill for our sleep. Let's take Imodium for our diarrhea. You know, let's just get the symptom solved. And, you know, for something that's just a short-term little acute problem, you know, you had a real stressful day and, you know, you didn't get enough sleep last night. Maybe you didn't drink enough water today and now you have a headache. Well, okay, take an ibuprofen. But if you're starting to take ibuprofen several times a day, day in and day out, that's a bigger problem that needs to get addressed. So, you know, the approach that we take really in functional medicine is not necessarily a diagnostic label like, oh, your headaches sound like they're migraines. Okay, here's all the drugs we give for migraines. Well, and let me just say, as an aside, it's not like I never prescribe drugs for anything. I certainly do. I take some prescriptions for some things. I do prescribe medicines for some things. It's not all or nothing. But when you start to have a problem that's recurrent, it's not just an acute once in a while thing that happens. But now, you know, you are having diarrhea four times a day, day in and day out. That is not normal. Something's wrong. You are not sleeping ever. It's not just one night of insomnia once in a while under a stressful situation. So what we kind of do in functional medicine is look at these physiological systems and processes as opposed to an organ system. So we look at how do things transport in your body? That's your circulation, your blood flow, your venous return and so forth. Transportation. How do your hormones communicate to all your cells? This is the communication system, and it's really the endocrine system, the adrenals, the thyroid, the ovaries, testicles, the pituitary. How does all that communication system work, and is it disrupted in some way? What about your assimilation of nutrients and water and healthy air? How is your digestive tract and your lungs and your skin bringing nutritious things into your body? And is that disrupted in some way? What about your body's way to detoxify? Largely what the liver does, but we detoxify through breathing, through sweating, through urination, through defecation. So how's your, and your liver, of course, how are you detoxifying? And is there something going on with that system that needs support because toxins are building up and you don't feel well? And what about your immune system and how are you responding to assaults from the outside, infections, viruses, stressors, because the immune system also has to do with autoimmune conditions. So inflammation, which is sort of the root of almost every chronic disease we can name, is part of this whole process of the immune system and inflammation. So where are these imbalances happening? And how can we work on largely lifestyle issues to get them back in balance? So we look at someone's nutritional status. What are they eating? Are they eating, you know, lots of sugar and carbs and not getting very many colorful fruits and vegetables? Are they a vegan, but they're really not eating vegetables? They're eating tons of carbs. You know, are they getting enough protein? Are they getting too much of something? Too much alcohol, too much sugar. Then we look at your exercise, because how your body uses your muscles and metabolizes, you know, your calories is very important. And exercise is really key for so many portions of your system to work well. It's super stress management technique to exercise. It's certainly good for your heart, your vascular system, you know, all kinds of things, mood. What about your sleep? This is a pillar of health. Absolutely. People who don't get enough sleep can't function well. And lots of good things happen during deep sleep, like getting rid of toxins, getting rid of waste material, really absorbing and assimilating all the things you've eaten all day long. Sleep is crucial. And so people need to get at least 7, maybe 8 hours most nights. Some people think 4 or 5 is enough. No. It's not enough. Generally speaking, if you wake up in the morning without an alarm clock ready to go, you've had enough sleep. How many women can say that? I don't know.
Dr. Jane, I think on this sleep issue, what's kind of interesting is that many times, and I think the way the world has been, is that it's almost a badge of honor that you don't need much sleep. And I think, you know, we just really have to talk that through. You hear people proudly saying, oh, I only need 4 or 5 hours of sleep a night and I'm ready to go. You eventually get so out of whack that you almost crash and your influence will definitely diminish.
Exactly. Absolutely. I mean, really, the literature says 7 to 8 hours for most adults. Personally, I'm a 9-hour person. I function and feel very good if I get 9 hours. I could do 8. If I do 7 very often, I just don't work as well the next day. So everybody's also got their own set point, I think. Okay, sleep. Relationships. Like, what is your support system? Where do you find love and receiving instead of giving all the time? You know, women are very good at saying yes to everything. I'll take care of the parents. I'll take care of the kids. I'll take care of the kids' friends. I'll do the church, you know, socials. I'll handle PTA. And I've got a full-time job. You know, oh, and I love to cook wonderful meals for my family every night. You know, there comes a point where you've got to receive as well. So social support networks, friends, of course, family, if they're supportive, really important. Isolation is not a good human trait. We are not an island. We humans, we are in tribes. Stress management, hugely important. You know, you cannot eliminate stress. Stress is going to happen. And to a certain degree, stress in the world and your life and your body, stress is necessary for growth. You know, if we don't have anything stressful, we don't expand. We don't grow. But it's when that stress is too much and we can't cope as well. It's distress. So having some systems in your daily world for dealing with your own stress that will happen inevitably. You know, all kinds of things, deep breathing, mindfulness, meditation, yoga, journaling, prayer, exercise is very good stress reliever. Doing some things that you find helpful, you know, getting your toenails done, reading a good book that isn't about your work. It's just relaxing. You know, definitely vacations. Americans are very proud to say, I never take a vacation. That is ridiculous. You know, there are countries in the world that force you to take a vacation because they know you're going to be a better employee when you're working if you've had some rest. So we have to pay attention to this and not let stress overtake us and start doing habits for what we think is stress management, which end up being counterproductive, like drinking alcohol, you know, taking drugs, smoking cigarettes, getting into addictive behaviors, shopping, gambling, whatever, that we find stress reducing at the moment, but it really creates bigger problems down the road.
You know, Jane, when you start talking about all of this stress and the behaviors to kind of try to feel like you're nurturing yourself, I think many times women and men, but, you know, women find themselves in this space where they're really coming undone. And yet it's almost like counterintuitive. The body feels like, okay, give me more carb, quick energy, give me more sugar, let me have one more drink. It's almost like the cravings and this being on this wheel of almost destructive behaviors that good food doesn't even look good when you're that stressed. So let's just dig in a little deeper into what is really going on. Let's talk about what is called the HPA axis, where it's the hypothalamus, and then the pituitary and the adrenal system. I want our listeners to understand what is going on with the adrenal system and then what happens to cortisol that really leads to like an insulin resistance and storing everything as fat. Share that with our listeners.
Sure. So the hypothalamus is a little gland in the brain that is sort of the master conductor of all your hormones. The hypothalamus sends stimulating hormones to your pituitary gland, which is also in your brain, and it's physically just below the hypothalamus. The pituitary makes the hormones that stimulate your thyroid to make thyroid hormone, stimulates your ovaries to grow and develop a follicle and release an egg, that tell your adrenal glands through ACTH to make cortisol. So the adrenal glands are like the key piece in this system you're asking about with the stress management and stress response. So,
and they're right above the kidneys.
Right above the kidneys. They are geographically located atop the kidneys. They have nothing to do with how your kidneys work. They're just there in your body. That's where they live. And they're adrenal, which means next to the renal, which is a kidney. So now you know medical terminology. Anyway, they have two areas, the adrenal glands. The outer part is called the cortex. The inner part of the adrenal gland is called the medulla. The cortex makes two very important hormones. One is cortisol, and the other one is DHEA, dehydroepiandrosterone, long name, DHEA. So cortisol is the big one we look at when we're looking at stress, because in a healthy, normal person in a regular day, our adrenal gland is wired to release cortisol early in the day. It gives us energy. It gets us up and going, motivates us to get dressed and take a shower and go to work. Then that cortisol comes down through the day and it's very low at night. So we can sleep, because if cortisol is high at night, then we're stimulated and we don't sleep well. So then the next morning, it starts to come up again and we get another boost of cortisol to get our next day going. This is called a diurnal variation. So it varies throughout the day. Under acute stress, that cortisol could be high all day long. And that is very stimulating. It's the fight or flight response. Let's run. Let's get away from that mean boss. Let's stop those screaming children from screaming so much. You know, it's the kind of situation. Does that record well?
Yes, it does, actually.
Okay. So now you've got a high cortisol. Now, high cortisol totally messes up how your glucose is metabolized, and your body starts sending out all this insulin thinking, oh my gosh, we have a high cortisol now, high blood sugar. Now we've got to make all this insulin, which creates an insulin resistance problem. And so now you start becoming pre-diabetic from stress. Cortisol at high levels over time is like a stimulus to put fat on, especially around the middle part of your body, your abdomen, which women hate this. Why am I just getting fat here? I'm not pregnant. All right. So then you're running around with high stress. All these hormones are not going right. You're feeling bad. You're feeling now kind of overstimulated because this cortisol is high. And if that goes on for too long, weeks, months, years, the poor adrenal gland is only prepared to make so much cortisol, and now it's going to start getting depleted. It cannot keep up with the demands of this stressful situation. Now the cortisol starts to get lower and lower and lower. And some people, after enough time of this, get to a point where we call it adrenal burnout, adrenal fatigue, underactive adrenal, you know, lots of ways to say this. You're just not making enough cortisol. So now it's really, you don't get that morning boost now. You get nothing. Hard to get up in the morning, dragging yourself out of bed. You basically feel horrible all day. You might get a little boost of energy in the afternoon or maybe right before bed. And then if you don't go to sleep, you're up all night with that second wind. So now you're not getting good sleep. And the irony of all this is one of the main ways to heal the adrenal gland is to get really good restorative sleep night after night after night. Sleep is when the adrenal plugs in its little battery cord and gets recharged. So we've got a person who's stressed. They're not getting good sleep. They're eating wrong. They're getting insulin resistance. They're gaining weight. They're really mad about that. And it's just this cycle that kind of perpetuates.
Yeah. So how do you break that pattern though? Because if you're at that point without using something on the side to help you take care of that, how in the world do you get out of that pattern?
So this is where lots of lifestyle interventions come in. And the person, of course, has to be motivated. First of all, they've got to start eating much, much more healthy. They have got to get away from refined sugar and refined carbohydrate, flour products, breads, pastas. You know, they've got to eat lots of healthy, nutritionally rich vegetables, fruits, maybe some whole grains, but not refined grains, healthy fat, healthy lean protein. They've got to drink enough water. They probably might be under these conditions drinking too much alcohol, and that's got to go. They've got to do some things to deal with stress management. They've got to learn to meditate, to breathe, to do yoga breathing or yoga gentle, you know, management. They have got to get good sleep. And in these cases, it's, you know, everybody's got their own way of approaching it. There are many supplements and herbal things that can help sleep. There are, you know, apps on the phone for calming and breathing at night to get to sleep. sometimes we even resort to maybe medications just for a while to get that sleep pattern back, because that is key. If we can't get the sleep right, then the poor adrenal is never going to recover. And there are some nutritional supplements and herbs that are supportive to help the adrenal, you know, start to recover and start to make cortisol again. But the lifestyle pieces are absolutely crucial. Without those, taking a bunch of supplements or even prescriptions really isn't going to solve the problem, because they're going to go right back into this boat if they don't change their lifestyle.
Well, and isn't it really about too, it's so hard. It feels like such a big leap when you're really in deep and your body is out of whack. And so many times if you can just start like, okay, good food doesn't even look good because you're so deep into this stress cycle. So sometimes it's just, all right, give yourself a break. Start by drinking more. Start by saying,
right,
all right,
water.
You know, a third of my day, I'm gonna try to get a serving of vegetables in today. I'm just going to do it. I'm going to walk 2 to 3 blocks. I'm going to sit still for 10 minutes, just 10 minutes, and try to not think about anything. Just concentrate on breathing, because you've got to start with a baby step, and then you can grab hold of yourself, because that all or none is really hard to get going.
Yes, you can't do it all in once, but that's absolutely right. Baby steps. And then you start feeling, oh, I've done something good for myself, a little bit more self-confidence, a little more self-appreciation. And okay, I can do that. And if you don't get that walk in every single day, it's not the end of the world. Get back on track tomorrow. You know, be a little gentle. I think women in general tend to have a lot of self-abuse, a lot of self-criticism. I'm not perfect. I'm not perfect. I better be perfect. I'll try this. Oh, I'm not perfect. Forget it. You know, just be a little bit gentle and loving to your own self.
Well, and I just feel like it's one of those things that, you know, you cannot wait for a feeling to take an action step on this, because honestly,
yes,
it won't feel good.
You're never going to feel just like needing, it, right?
It just won't. And so you have to say, well, I don't feel like it. No, you never will. And so you're just going to have to do something and say, I don't care how I feel about it, I'm still doing it. And that action really starts to make a difference pretty fast, actually.
So can you tell me, like, what does your actual work look like? I mean, do women find you? How have you helped to expand this? Because it's so critically important for, you know, for women to be able to know and to be able to reach out. And so I'm kind of curious about the background of how you started this work, and then also what your practice is like today.
Well, you know, I started this because I wasn't even like a midlife woman yet, but I had patients who were, you know, going through a lot of their menopausal changes and so forth. And I learned a lot from them, and I started asking a lot of questions and reading a lot of books and going to seminars and learning whatever I could and trying some things with patients. And I was very interested in the whole functional medicine approach, you know, probably for the last 20 years. And I started taking all the training, a lot of which is about stress management, because that is one of the biggest ongoing, you know, sort of triggers and ongoing mediators of people's health problems. Just about everything you can trace back to some degree of stress, you know, precipitating it or continuing it. So learning how to do some stress reduction and management is, or transforming, that's what one of the words is super important. So I just, you know, I got very interested. I'm a woman. I have a lot of women friends. I had a lot of women patients. And actually, I got very interested in the beginning of my practice about bioidentical hormones, which were fairly new 25 years ago. And I became kind of one of the local people who knew how to do that, was interested in that. So I got a very large following of women, you know, telling their friends and so forth. And then Deb alluded to a few minutes ago an organization that she and I and some other colleagues, especially Sharon McFarland, started a national organization called Women in Balance, which was trying to give resources, helping women find information to become kind of in charge of their own health. And so we did many workshops and conferences in that with that organization. And I speak a lot in my local community, and I've done lots of you know, lectures for doctors in different national and regional conferences and so forth. So that's kind of how I got my start in this arena. I've continued to look at various health issues people are concerned about. And now that I'm getting toward geriatric myself, I started getting an interest in cognitive decline, dementia, and some work by some really innovative forward-thinking neurologists around the country who are looking at preventing Alzheimer's and even helping reverse it if it's not too far advanced, and giving some hope to people where there has never been hope. Once you get Alzheimer's, forget it. Or if you have parents with it, maybe you feel like you're destined for that too. So I've gotten some training and I've been working with patients in this regard. And it's the same kind of thing. It's a functional medicine approach. What are the lifestyle issues largely that can help your brain maintain its most healthy state as long as possible? And that's all, you know, has to do with diet and exercise and stress management and sleep is all the same things that help us with everything.
Well, definitely want to bring you back to help to share some more about that for sure.
Yeah. So my practice now, I've had a lot of careers. Deb mentioned working with the American Academy of Family Physicians. Then I was chairman of family medicine at the University of Kansas for a number of years. So academia. Then I opened my integrative center, which was a booming place for about 20 years. And I decided I wanted to kind of semi-retire, not completely. So I am now in a stage I'm calling my rewirement, not my retirement. So I work a lot less, many less hours a day, and I don't do any primary care anymore, which I used to do a lot of primary care with kind of an integrative functional medicine approach. I'm only doing consultations for people, and it can be for anything, any kind of complicated problem. I saw a young girl yesterday with depression. I've seen people with hormone imbalance. I've seen people with stress-related illness, lots of autoimmune disease, and this cognitive decline program that I'm working with too. So I'm just sitting in my office, hearing people's stories, trying to put together the timeline of their health history and what's happened in terms of incidents and, you know, traumas and infections and surgeries and emotional issues. And how does that all fit in with what they're experiencing now? And then what can we do with maybe some advanced testing, some digestive analysis, hormone analysis, nutritional analysis, all kinds of things, and lifestyle modifications that can get them back on track. So I'm hopefully using my many now years of experience of looking at various health problems and resources in our community for some other things, acupuncture, really good physical therapy, certain types of chiropractic, people who know wonderful massage techniques, energy healing, all kinds of things, because I've been here so long. And I think I'm just kind of still a resource that I don't want to let just go by the wayside as long as my brain works fine.
Well, Dr. Jane, you are like way more than just a resource. You're like a legend in this work and, you know, have really taken on the overall. No, that's just the truth.
You are so funny.
And have taken on really the healing of your community. And I mean, I'll tell you what, when I am with Dr. Jane in her home community, we don't go anywhere without people stopping and talking to her. And I mean, you can just tell how intricately connected she is, which is one of the things that she talked about earlier about not being isolated and being connected with the people that are around you. And she certainly is. And well, we're going to, you know, we could talk forever, Dr. Jane, and we're going to have to bring you back because one of the things that we really need to get into in this whole bio-U is talking about what is happening with the gut and how does stress play out in the gut and then what happens with your brain. And I think this whole functional medicine conversation, which is really about when you think about it, it's the function of you, that a body was made to run perfectly. It is made to have all these checks and balances that if you give it its proper fuel of the things that you talked about, you know, rest, good food, great relationships, time for yourself, movement, then your body will keep plugging along for you. It's when we go too long on a pathway of not paying proper attention to the fuel that it has to have, that then all of a sudden these inflammations start and these different imbalance situations. But the good news is, to the women listening, you can take your body back. And as Dr. Jane outlined, These principles are mostly about lifestyle, and we would just really encourage you to take the baby steps that you need to. So, Dr. Jane, thank you so much for being on our show today. We really appreciate it. To everybody listening to our podcast today, I would just like to leave you with a question. Are you really listening to your body? Are you paying attention to the innate bio you? You're worth it. We really appreciate everyone that tuned into this podcast today. We hope that you'll do it again. In the meantime, be sure to stay influential. Thanks for tuning in. If you enjoyed our podcast, we'd be so jazzed if you rate us on whatever app you use to find us. And hey, be sure to tell all your friends about Influential She.
And please visit us at InfluentialShe.com and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn. And you know what? If you come up with a new one, please let us know. In the meantime, remember, stay influential.